Psalms 14 and 53, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And the out result for that, they corrupted and they dealt in abomination. And just as an atheist outside who says in his heart there is no God, because if he were to use his mind, he will come to the conclusion that there is a God. There is no way that a Big Bang out there created such a mysterious and wonderful body and human being as we are. But just as they didn't want to keep God in their mind, they kicked him out. So this evil servant here, he said in his heart, my master delays his coming. And then the outcome of that, he says, and he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. And isn't that obvious when we look at the Christendom? That is the sphere of the confessed Christianity, and we see a lot of people ruling over the flock, ruling over, in quote unquote, their flock, sadly to say. And they not only rule over them, but also they start abusing all the resources for their own benefit. And as Brother Emil was highlighting, the end result of that person, which the Lord will put him with the hypocrites. When the Lord Jesus was here in the scene, he told his disciples to watch from the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. God opposes the pride, and the Lord Jesus hates hypocrisy. And may the Lord help us to take off, as Peter could say in 1 Peter 2, verse 1, to take off that coat of hypocrisy. And then I just would like to link this parable with the other two parables that the Lord Jesus mentioned in the sphere of the Christendom here. The two servants, and then the 10 virgins, and then the parable of the talents. As we have been seeing, in the parable of the two servants, faithfulness was a must. And in the talents, faithfulness is still there. It was a must. But there's a difference. And the two servants, and the first servant, the one who was faithful and wise, wisdom was needed. But then, in the parable of the talents, wisdom was not mentioned. Good and faithful servants, so goodness was mentioned. And I believe there's a reason there. Because the parable of the two servants, it was inside the household. And this ministry of feeding the flock and tending to their needs, it's inside. And who is then that faithful and wise servant who would do such wonderful work? So wisdom is needed on the inside. But on the outside, we're not supposed to stay on the inside, beloved. We need to go outside. And this is what the Lord has linked all these three parables together. And we need to go outside. There are people outside who need the Lord. And how they need, they won't get benefit from our wisdom, more they will be benefit from the goodness they will see in us. Let your light so shine, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 5:16 said, let your light so shine before men, and then they will hear your beautiful sermons. And then they will look into your intellectual understanding. No, and then they will see your good works. Good works. People outside, they need to see something good. And that something good is not done out of anything in us. It's out of the Spirit of God who is working in us. So at the beginning, in the first parable, there is, yes, faithfulness all the way. There's wisdom on the inside. Oh, how we need the wisdom. James 1:5, if anyone lack wisdom. And who can say here, I don't lack wisdom? All of us, beloved. If anyone lack wisdom, have him ask of God in faith, and it will be given to him. And then at the last parable, the parable of the talents, goodness, beloved. Faithful all the way, but there's goodness. People need to see our good works that the Spirit of God create within us. Why the Spirit of God has come? From the many reasons the Spirit of God has come, he has come to form the life of Christ in each and every one of us. Do they see Christ in you? Do they see Christ in me? And the only point we will get to that realization, to that reality, that Christ can be seen through me only when I die. Only when I die to myself, to my lusts, to my desires, when I have the flesh. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with all its passion. Then and only then, beloved, then the life of Christ will be manifested through me. And the parable in between, virgins, it speaks of love. It speaks of the condition of the heart. I love my Lord. I love the Lord Jesus. And I'm anticipating His coming fervently. And I would pray that it would be today. But until then, until that will take place, there is work for us to do.
I'm not sure, Kevin, if you got the answer that you were looking for. But nevertheless, I'm going to just make this quick application, or even word from the second parable of those that went to sleep. There's no question it's likened unto the kingdom of heaven. It's the same term that is used in Matthew chapter 13 in relationship to many parables the Lord has spoken. There's no question in my mind that we can take Matthew 25 and really engage our hearts with the Lord's coming for us. To just think of Him as the bridegroom that is coming for His bride. But I just want to give a word of warning after such a day of conference, that in the Gospels, we have occasions where people went to sleep and they lost tremendously. You would think that the first time the Lord Jesus expressed in Matthew 13 that when men slept, the enemy came and sow a different seed. Brethren, when we lack watchfulness and when we are so passive, neutral, uncaring, we can rest assured that the enemy is going to creep in and sow something that is not according to the mind of God. The second time, you would see that there's those that were sleeping, you would go to the Transfiguration Mountain. And you read that the disciples were heavy in sleep. And for us, in a practical way, if we are in such an attitude of, again, passive, uncaring, neutral, these things are not for me, we would lose sight of this wonderful glory of Christ. Just not to be able to see His glories because we are so much entangled with the things of this world. The third time that they went to sleep is over here. And that's in relationship to His coming. We don't want to be those that Paul could say, "Awake, awake thou sleepest from amongst the dead." We thank God that we are the sleepers. We're not the dead. But sometimes, as we have heard earlier, there is no difference. And the last time I can think of those that went to sleep is really the Gethsemane. How much we lose, dear brethren, to enter into not what He went through, but just to be touched by the suffering love of Christ. And if we're not touched by it, simply maybe because we are having the same attitude that let us go to sleep, let us not worry about divine things, let us not care about conferences. It is in the precious Word of God we can see all these wonderful things concerning the person of the Lord Jesus.